that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Let's try it. Here we go.
Good right. Morning.
And now we're all here, crowded office this morning. We welcome you, Remnant, to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Sorry for the little mix-up this morning. But we're here, and we're going to be in prayer in just a minute. But we'll just say good morning to everybody. We'll say good morning to you, the Remnant. We thank you for joining us. We'll open up the phone lines in a little bit. But good morning, John.
Good morning.
And Jason.
Good morning.
How's that mic sounded, Jason?
Sounds all right.
Got a new headset there. And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And, of course, this is Richard, and we thank you for joining us. Got everybody up here today because it's branding day here at the Radio Ranch. So just a little bit later than usual, but it looks like just about the best Saturday we've had. It's supposed to be highs in the 60s, and that's pretty good for mid-October.
That's awesome.
That's just about the best weather ever. So we're just thankful for that.
About 28 right now.
Yeah, it's a little brisk out there. But anyway, well, John, you want to open us up in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, Lord. Come before you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Come with praise, Lord. The praise that you are due, and only you, Lord. We thank you for this time that you set aside for your people to get together and to discuss whatever it is that you put on our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we ask even right now that you would guide and direct us, grant us wisdom and understanding. Pray for the remnant out there, Lord, that you'd put it upon their hearts and their minds what it is that you want your people to discuss. Pray for a special anointing on this program today. And Lord, your word says where two or more are gathered, then you're there also, and we claim that as well. We say, come, Lord Jesus, and bring your myriads of angels. We ask for your blessings on today and the work that needs to be done. Pray for safety, Lord. Pray that you put a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around this ranch, around each and every one of us. And we redeem time in the name of Jesus Christ to do the work that you've set out for us to do. Lord, we ask even now for your blessings on tomorrow's church service. Pray that you would grant a special anointing to those that are going to speak, that their words would be your words, and that they would be beneficial to your people. Pray for protection for your remnant, Lord, as these plagues and diseases come upon the land. Let them know that it's nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that will save them. We pray all these things in the name above all other names, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kyle,
you got your notebook open over there. I know you want to start with something.
I've been driving down to LaPorte this week because of the newsletter, and so I get a chance to listen to some of the news that's going on. And we were talking about something before we went on the air today, and that's this thing going down in Texas. And anyway, the radio guy that I was listening to, of course, I listened to not a very big station. It's like 1290 here in the Laramie, Wyoming area. And the radio guy, the news guy, whatever he is, he was actually saying some pretty good stuff against the government. And I know John's going to get into some of the details on this stuff here in a little bit. But those preachers that are being asked to turn over their notes and all this stuff, I mean, he was ripping the government people for he was saying all their preaching is online, I guess, or you can go to their websites and hear. And he goes, don't ask for their notes. You need to go listen to their sermons. You know, you might pick up some other stuff. And he's saying this over the air, and I know it's just a small town AM radio station that probably not very many listeners are going to hear. But I thought it was pretty good that the guy wasn't afraid of some big Antichrist Jew walking into his office saying you're fired. I mean, because he was coming against them pretty good. He came against the IRS, and he's coming against others that, you know, he's just like, this country was built with preachers who preach the word of God. You know, and he's saying this over the air, and it isn't a religious station.
It was just talk radio.
Talk radio, you know, and I don't even think it was a regular talk radio guy. I think he's kind of the news guy for this area. You know,
yeah.
I mean?
Well, that's news. But it was the news today.
It got my attention, and it kept me listening. You know, I mean, you know, and then they went on to the local everything else. But it was pretty interesting, and I was pretty happy that the guy did that. You know, for the 10 people that are listening, or the 10,000, I don't know. You know how many are listening, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it is good to see people standing up. It is good to see people standing up. That story there in Houston kind of hits home for us here in LaPorte, Colorado, because it has a lot of the same characteristics of the battle that this little church went through in 1983. And what had happened was Houston passed an ordinance to give transgendered basically special rights for men who felt like they were women could go into women's restrooms and into women's locker rooms and shower rooms, by the way, and that women would do the same. Well, typically it's mostly the men, I believe, that would take advantage of that situation. But so then there was the people in town, just like right here in Fort Collins, Colorado, decided to get a petition, and they circulated that petition, and within 3 days they had 10 times the number of signatures that they needed to overturn the will of the city council. And basically whoever determines whether or not they have enough signatures sent them a letter that said, yes, you do have enough signatures to get it on the ballot. But someone else in a position of authority deemed that 26,000 signatures or something weren't valid. Well, it still gave them more than enough than the legal amount of signatures to get it on the ballot. Well, the city council decided that, well, we don't really care. We're not putting it on the ballot. So then a group of churches, I'm not sure what denomination, I think Baptist mostly.
With some several different churches, different denominations, and there were some white churches and some black churches.
Yeah.
That were both included in this.
Right. Well, anyways, they, along with some caring citizens, filed a lawsuit against the city council and the mayor, the lesbian mayor, by the way. And they didn't like that. So they thought that, well, if you dare come against us, the magistrate, then we're going to come against you. And they subpoenaed these pastors and told them, you will submit to us your sermons before you preach them. And they wanted their past sermons so that they could determine if they were speaking against their ordinance. Well, it goes right back to the abomination. I don't know how many years ago that was, where they passed the hate crime. And the reality is, in their book, you cannot speak against anything that they deem is not proper. But as for us here at this little church and in this ministry, we learned a long time ago, our pastor taught us, there's a word, it's only two letters, and it comes off your lips pretty easily. Just put your tongue on top of your roof of your mouth and say no. In fact, not only no, but hell no. We're not going to take it. So,
and he probably learned it from the Apostle Peter when he said, "No, we're going to obey God rather than man."
Yeah,
I mean,
amen.
That's been a true Christian for 2,000 years. They say no.
Yep.
You know, and Pastor Peter's was obviously a true Christian, and there's not very many around.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's good to see that these churches are actually taking a stand. But I got news for them. The next step is going to be their 501c3 status. And that was the main reason that our pastor refused to sign their papers and to become a 501c3 church. Because Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not the state.
Amen.
And these churches are going to start to figure it out that they don't need the permission of the government to preach the gospel. And they don't need the permission of the government to accept tithes and offerings for their church. So I think it's encouraging to see that people are waking up, and to see that those that are persecuting us, that those tares are becoming more bold and brazen every single day.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, that news story, actually, it must have really tripped a trigger with a lot of people, because I think I got that story emailed to me more than anything I've seen in a long time. I think I got it 37 times.
Wow.
In my account on people sending it in. It was interesting that that Attorney General Greg Abbott, immediately after that, he sent the city attorneys the letter telling him to withdraw the subpoenas. And you could just tell by the tone of the letter that he was getting some heat over the whole deal. And, you know, I think there was a real outcry with people. I think it struck a nerve with them, because, you know, there was you heard about it a lot of different places.
Yeah, there were over 400 churches that have been opposed to this. They call it the bathroom bill that kind of brought all this to a head. But you think about it, now Houston's a big place, fourth largest city in the country, but there were over 400 churches that openly opposed it, and this has been going on since August.
And those are big churches down there, too.
Yeah, where were they, though, when this little church in Colorado was opposing it? Not one.
Well, they might, you know how it is, if you fail a test, what's God do?
And gives you another test. Many people don't wake up until it hits their home.
Right.
Or their neighborhood,
right.
or their church. You know, I mean, because they believe the propaganda. You know, I mean, why would they want to come up and help this white supremacist, you know, man? I mean, because they believe lies. Even though they know they're liars, they tend to believe their lies unless they're lying about them. And then all of a sudden, he's a liar. You know what I mean? Right. Well, you knew he was a liar the whole time. You knew the government lies the whole time, you know. But until they lie about you, all of a sudden you're not ready to stand up. And, you know, it's just that's been the problem with America for a long time is neighbors aren't neighborly. They don't care for their brethren. And until it hits their home, that's why they say things like, well, whatever goes on in their house doesn't really bother me. Well, it does bother them. They just don't – they're just refusing to acknowledge that, you know, because the word tells you that the curses are going to come upon the whole land. It doesn't just say, well, it only hit them.
Right.
Well, and that's part of what people are missing is loving their neighbor as themselves. They don't have that. I mean, if you loved your neighbor as yourself when they're attacking a church over there that's standing on godly principle, you'd stand with them. But, you know, we've lost that. And we see that in all different aspects of life. I mean, today, you know, if they're not trying to take our land, but they're trying to take that guy's land over there, you know, then that's fine, you know. And people don't, you know, a lot of people don't stand up and they don't get a spine until it finally does hit their backbone, until they shed blood. I mean, you know, you think about the children of Israel of old. A lot of them, Scripture says that they didn't... they repented when bloodshed was in their family, and they didn't hit that point of repentance until bloodshed had hit every family.
Yeah. Right. Well, you look at, for those of you that are Facebookers and tweeters, they've proven now that they've blocked like 20,000 tweets and I don't know how many Facebook reports of people who are outraged at the city council in Houston. So... you can
see
who's behind
that. Control, absolutely. Well, you know, and that's what they can control the mass populations and the way people are going to sway, because, you know, people are so conditioned to wanting to fit in and not wanting to be seen as an outsider, as you know, they want to be in with the trend. So if they can take 20,000 people that like something or 20,000 people that tweet something and bring those numbers down, they can control people's, I don't know what you would call it, but they're basically their opinion on a subject.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those that want to fit in. You know, our pastors mentioned it in the past and saw the same thing. You know, our enemies call us cattle. And when we push the cows all into the pens yesterday, you know, we can go in there and feed them. You know, for the most part, they're herd animals. They just come running. Right through the gate, right into where we want them to be. But, you know, there's always a couple. We say there's always one, but there was, you know, there's always a few that go against the grain. Like that picture of the one sheep going against all the rest of them. Excuse me, going the other way. And, of course, you have it here with the cattle. There's always one and that just doesn't want to go with the herd.
Of course, there was the herd we had a couple years ago. That the whole stinking herd was insane, climbing the fences. But there had to be some crossbreeding going on there or something, because we had to get rid of that herd.
Yeah. But, you know, Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." And that's been my prayer for these churches and these so-called Christians in Houston. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not back away from it. You know, greater is this word than anything that can come against it. But you know, there sure may be trials. There may be, you know, issues that come up. Another place in Romans. Let me flip over there. And, boy, if you keep reading in Romans, Ron, you get introduced to that, not only the mayor in Houston, but the city council and the people that are supporting that ungodly and sinning mayor. But in Romans 6, is it Romans 6? I think it's Romans 6. No, it's not Romans 6.
had it here in my notes. Oh, it's Romans 5. You know, that we have our tribulations. Romans 5:3 says, not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And, you know, these pastors in Houston are they may be facing a little tribulation. You know, it's...
Well, hopefully they have the Spirit of God on them that the Apostle Paul had, where he says, woe unto me if I do not preach. You know what I mean? If they're gonna put themselves up as a minister, a reverend, a pastor, or a preacher, then, you know, then they better be doing it out of compulsion from God. You know what I mean? Because the hireling and the one that does it out of self-ambitions, they're going to run when the tribulations come, you know? They're just going to take off. They're not going to care for the sheep. They're not going to have that neighborly love that Jason was talking about. They're just going to care for themselves because they're doing it out of their own ambitions anyway. And and whether it's for greed or envy or whatever it's for, it's not for God.
And these tribulations are like the heat that burns the dross off the silver. We sure learned that from our pastor. And the perseverance that comes. The tribulations are here. You can look at it that way. And it brings about perseverance, and that brings about proven character, and proven character hope. And so these tribulations will prove the character of the pastors and of the people. Maybe we could rent a billboard or rent an airplane to fly a banner around Houston with Romans 1:16 on it. I am not ashamed of the gospel, just to try to encourage and strengthen the Christians there that are under tribulation. They're facing trials, and it's certainly our hope that they will stand true to the word, as you said, John, and not back off of it, and present it to them. They don't have to go back to the Old Testament to go up to that, who's that, I had her name here, Anise Parker, this openly homosexual mayor that they elected.
Yeah, married to her partner in California.
Yeah.
Before 30 states,
you
now
gay
marriage is legal.
Yeah, you can keep reading in Romans, and... You know, verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And verse 25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator.
Yeah.
And that's just what they do. They serve self, the creature, that which is created. And... if you read through in Romans, you know, they know about God. They can look out the window and see the sunrise coming and see the colors changing from almost muted to bright and vibrant. They know God does that. They just choose to ignore him. And they say, no, I, instead of thy. And,
well, one thing I found useful in the last year or so, I know that I've been more vocal and bold about sharing the truth, even at work and in emails and things like that, you know, where people are afraid to. But all you got to do is read Luke 9:26 or Mark 8:38 or Matthew 10:32, and I think we'll read Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I mean, we really need to take that to heart, that we're not of those that shrink back. We are of those who are strong and bold and proclaim the truth no matter what the consequences are. And I've noticed that when you tell people that, even just paraphrase that, hey, the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father. And I think that wakes them up a lot, because I've had people say, well, what are you doing? You're crazy sending those kind of emails and stuff. You know, you're going to get fired. And I said, well, so be it. If God shuts that door, he'll open another.
Well, Christ said, the harvest is plenty. The laborers are few.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we need laborers in the land. You know, and if it's done by email or text or sitting in a lawn chair next to somebody at a soccer game, I mean, we got to. That was 2,000 years ago, and it's the same predicament now. The harvest is plenty. The people down in Houston, most of them aren't going to say a word, but they need laborers that stand up and say, "No, this is the way it is. You can take your 501c3 and stick it where the sun don't shine or whatever." I mean, that's what they need to hear, because they might not do it. They might be scared to do it. They might have more fear than faith, but they need to hear it, you know, because then it produces more laborers, because there'll be a few that will be, "Man, if he can do that, what have I got to lose?"
Right.
You know, my life in this world's miserable anyway, and a lot of them are starting to realize that.
Yeah.
So that'll bring up more laborers, and then we'll be getting more into the kingdom coming age, where, okay, then things are going to start turning, and you're going to start seeing these kingdom things starting to come to pass. You know?
And there has to be these trials. There have to be these storms and these testings that come up. Like you read, John, there in Mark, this adulterous generation. You know, there's not too many that wouldn't agree with you, at least on that things are a mess right now. You know, they're an absolute mess. It's just trying to get them to have their eyes open to realize why. Why.
The thing, too, is you know, just how sick, how I remember when the pastor was explaining to me what a homosexual was. And now we've got to explain to our children what a transgendered is. And I mean, you know, that's one generation. It's like we've come transgendered. I don't think that was even around when I was a kid. I mean, maybe it was. Maybe I was just that sheltered, but
Tracy basically explained it to me the other day because I didn't understand the term. I mean,
term. It's a new term in the last generation or two that they've had to come up. And you know, we've talked about it before. The next thing on the list is pedophilia. And, you know, where they are, it's not that they're not coming against our children now, but they just want to pass laws where it's okay, where it's when they call legal to do that. And they'll have their terminology for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a list of things, because my show was kind of on preaching last week, and a list of what preachers are supposed to do. They're supposed to proclaim. They're supposed to advocate. And it said in the concourse, especially to urge, you know, and then evangelize, of course, and to announce the good news, which you brought up there in Romans, Richard. They're supposed to say that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He died for our sins, and that He rose from the grave. And if you want to be part of that, then you got to obey. And I mean, they're supposed to herald and declare, you know. And then the things that they're supposed to do while they're doing this is they exhort the people, they edify the people, they build them up, and they lead them and guide them and direct the sheep. They reprove, they rebuke, and they chastise. One of the versions say they discipline, you know. And what's the word say that his ministers are supposed to be a flaming fire, you know? And that's what's going to come back into this land someday. And right now, it's hitting a little group in Houston or whatever, or it might be hitting some place in the north, you know, where some dykes trying to run something up there. But pretty soon in this land, it's going to be like that Bonanza scene. You know, at the beginning of Bonanza, where the map is burning, that it's going to be like that, and unfortunately, these horrible things that are going on right now are just about ready to light that fire. You know, I mean, 2,000 years ago, Christ was saying He was wished it was already kindled. Man, it's kindled. I mean, it's been chopped, it's been cut. It's getting bundled right now, and
absolutely,
and the match is ready to go, and it's going to get exciting, and there's going to be these laborers in the field, like John's talking about, talking to people in the last couple of years that he never talked. That's going to start happening, and what fire actually means, spiritually or physically, I think we all are yet to see exactly what it means. But it's not going to be good for those that get burned up. It's not going to be good for the house of Edom. We know that they're going to be stubble. It says, you know, so some other people, they might just get the snot burn out of them. You know, the bad stuff. It's like Peter used to talk about the diamonds that need the rough edges knocked off. You know what I mean?
They're refined. Yeah.
That it might do that for the ones that are just lost right now.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, for the house of Edom, they're going to be burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, I get, you know, my children, my boys and stuff, they ask me, they said, well, what did you guys do when you were in school when you had this, all this gay stuff and all that? And I said, we didn't. They were afraid. They were hiding in the closet. We used to play a game called Smear the Queer, you know, and they're like, Smear, really? A game called Smear the Queer? Wow,
if somebody even acted effeminate, you fag, get away from me. That was just the normal thing.
Right.
You know, oh, he's a fag. You know, I mean, whether they were or not, they just kind of acted that way.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, wussy was another word used. I mean, people, it was just common sense.
And
a man was supposed to act like a man.
And a lot of times, a comment or two like that was enough to get them where they didn't
put
act like that
in the
anymore.
Closet,
yeah,
know?
Or
straighten them up.
Where they,
yeah.
Straighten them out.
Well,
yeah,
well what do you mean? You don't do that kind of crap around here. Okay. And then that was it, you know.
Yeah.
That's like when I shake one of these young men's hands or these children's hands. I say, "You shake my hand like a man. Don't none of this limp wristed thing. You put your hand out there and you squeeze my hand."
There's a lot of 40 and 50 and 60 year old men you need to do that to. Too.
I have told them that too. But yeah, we got to get a handle on the younger generation first. That I mean, they're the future.
You know, a lot of them, you know, when the ones that I've seen. They have more of the inclination to come against fags and things like that because they haven't had that fear pounded in them, you know.
They haven't been indoctrinated.
Right. They haven't been indoctrinated, you know, by the world completely yet. So they would like to do that. They would like to say, "Get away from me, you queer or you fag." I mean, they would really like to do that. A lot of them, but as they get older and they. You know, they witness these repercussions that people have, and store owners they have, and all these things. Then all of a sudden they'll lose that zeal.
And you know? As that, like you said about that fire from the opening scene of the old Bonanza TV show, and like you said earlier, it when it hits your household, or when it hits your extended family, your in-laws or outlaws, however you want to call them. You know, or cousins, or nephews, or nieces, or whatever, or friends, families. You know, because that's what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the people. Oh well, you know, last year, yeah, I didn't want anything to do with that. But now, you know,
right.
Little Billy here, and you know, and they start compromising, and they start moving away from the Word. The Word doesn't change. The Word doesn't change.
No, things in their life change.
Things change.
Yep. And
so
they have choices. Yep.
Right. And so people choose to accept this or to accept that. And, you know, sin is sin. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Right, not what I think, but what the Bible says. You know, and if you get in a conversation with somebody who says, well, I think, and you might pause and say, well, what's the Bible say? I think Paul, Plowboy Paul, our buddy from Michigan, brought that up not too long ago. I heard on one of his programs when he was on the radio talking to somebody, and they'd say, "Well, I think," and he'd say, "Wait a minute, what does the Bible say?" Because it doesn't matter what you think, and it doesn't matter what I think. It's what the Word says.
Yeah.
And the Word says, "Those that practice lawlessness, Christ will deny, just like He'll deny those that are ashamed of Him, and that deny Him before man." Well. Those that practice lawlessness, he denies as well.
The problem is that the churches across the land are molding to the people, not molding the people to God's word and to the churches.
Because they want the dollar.
Exactly. Yep. They're whoring themselves for money. And the reality is, religion itself is man-made to make money.
Yeah.
You know, the church obviously needs to have support to be able to do the things that it did. And guess what? It used to, before the yoke around the people's neck was so great. That they couldn't, well, not that they couldn't, but they don't support the churches as much as they used to, and the federal government stepped in, and the people love it so. They love to believe the lie.
Jeremiah 5, yeah. And, you know, from Jeremiah 5, where you're basically quoting out of there, to the Apostle Paul saying, well, you have each, you know, God's going to send you the kind of preachers you want to hear.
Yeah, that want to tickle your ears.
And, yeah, and if you've got sin, like Richard Timothy was talking about, if you got sin in your camp, well, you don't want that guy that's up there on the pulpit rebuking you for that sin. No. So you're going to get the guy down the street that doesn't rebuke on that kind of sin. Maybe even on no sin, but at least on the sin that's in your house or your family or whatever, because you don't want to hear it. You don't want to feel bad. You don't want to change. You know what I mean? So, in a way, we're getting exactly what we want, you know, as far as the nation goes. But these type of things are going to turn that, you know, because people aren't happy. You know what I mean? For years, they thought they were happy when they were watching their Happy Days on TV.
Because the enemy told them they were happy.
Yeah. And even Friends and even some of those other shows. I mean, they're going home in the evening and they think they're happy.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're starting to realize they're not happy, you know. So that's good. Bad and good.
I talked to this pastor the other day, Vineyard pastor in Fort Collins, and it was interesting because, he was talking about they got this campaign going on called The Cure, and it's, it's basically teaching more love and more love and more love. And it was, I had about enough, but then he started telling me, he said that he ran into a controversy, and he said that since all this homosexual stuff has come up and legalized in Colorado, he said he got approached by several people, came to the church, weren't members of the church, but they wanted him to marry him. And he said he told them no. He said it was against God's law, and he said he couldn't do it, and he wouldn't do it, and made a statement, you know, he said, you know, he stood on it. He said, when they came and they asked me, he's like, I always wondered what I would do, and he said, as soon as they asked me, he said, it was like God just, you know, put something inside me and said, no, you can't do this. This is wrong. And so he told them, and, I was like, well, good job, you know, and I applauded him on that. And it stopped and it took him back, and because I could tell that he had a lot of people that
didn't
applaud him on that. And it was just one of those interesting things, you know. I mean, it was like coming from somebody that was so wrong, but when they were faced with that, it's like, I can tell that the guy, you know, he's grown up in a Judeo-Christian church, and, you know, he's got a heart for people, and he's got a heart for the Lord, and, you know, when he was faced with that, he, you know, just stood up, and I could tell he had faced a lot of controversy over making that decision, and it was, you know, and that's what we got to do, is when we see somebody, you know, standing up for a conviction or something, you know, that is built on godly principles, we've got to back them.
It takes very little.
It does. You know. Like Dad said when he called that radio station that one time, and the guy on the DJ on the radio was just spouting filth, and he just made one call, got a hold of the station owner or programmer or whatever, and bam, just like that, shut off.
Well, and me and the pastor talked a lot, and he said, you know, we've got people out there all across the land say, oh, we need more men of God. We need more men that'll stand up and take a stand.
But they don't do it.
And they'll spout off all these kind of things, but they'll never back somebody who takes the position and says, okay, this is wrong. You know, we're not going to allow this homosexuality in. We're not going to promote these gay marriages. You know, we're going to stand up against this. You get everybody that, oh, we need more people to do this and stand up, but, you know, where are the people that are backing those people? It's like, oh, well, you know, when the smoke clears, you know, and there's no persecution, then they'll be there standing there. But, you know, same old story.
Well, these people who support this thing that are basically the generations of the younger generations that have been indoctrinated into believing that, you know, anything goes, whatever feels good. But the thing that they don't realize is when you tear down something like this, so moral, that was a gift of God that is to be treasured, husband and wife relationship, you open up Pandora's box. And it's not just between one man and or two men or two women. you open up the door to a father marrying a daughter or a son, and you know, three or four or five, or marrying their dog or their horse, and I mean, you open up Pandora's box, and that's what they want.
Which the proof, Sodom and Gomorrah. The proof of that is Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. They even want to take the angels. I mean,
exactly.
They were and have their way they with were them. What Richard well talks about tomorrow morning, and that is they were turned over to a reprobate.
It's right there in Romans,
and that is the last days. That's what we're.
Yeah.
So if you think we're not in the last days, you're utterly crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I read a couple of comments on some of these stories, and one of the men, it made a lot of sense. He said, you know, I believe the Bible, and I believe that God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. The thing I had trouble believing was that things could have been that bad, that, you know, that they would have actually wanted to have their way with angels. Mm-hmm. And he says, now you can see that that's what's coming upon this land.
Yeah.
But it's the curses of Deuteronomy 28, because we've forgotten God's laws, God's commandments, and forgotten him.
And again, it proves who true Israel is. That it's not the Antichrist, those that have weaseled their way in and gotten Judeo in front of Christianity in this nation. That it's not those that deny that Jesus is the Christ. It's not those.
It's not those.
But it's his remnant here in this new Jerusalem that these curses... Because the blessings have come upon us in the past.
Oh, absolutely.
And they do when you return to him, even if it's just you or you and your family. The true blessings come back, you know, when you repent and return to him. But because the nation hasn't done it, the curses are still there. Well, guys, the phone line's ringing. Let's go to it this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello?
Oh, lost that one. Hey, the other phone's ringing. Good morning.
Yes,
welcome
sir.
To Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking that, you know, we in the past we've done a lot of praying to confound the enemy and, you know, have them destroy each other and commit serious errors that compromised their mission, and I think this might be a good case of that, you know, prayer being answered. Because I was thinking, you know, what I know of the pastor's situation with this homosexual ordinance more than 20 years ago, I've heard second or third hand, but it seems that at that time they thought they were doing what they like to do, which is pick out the weak sheep out of the flock and pick them out one by one. That's their specialty. In which case they messed up badly and picked out the ram in front. But it was just one, and the one did prevail at cost of great sacrifice. But in this case, they went after a bunch of these ministers. And they were probably their own people, preaching, obey the government and anything else. So, you know, I think they committed a serious error, and let's pray that the Lord continues to confound our enemy. Hello.
Agreed. You know that pistol prayer says, you know, to let the DC sorcery cease, and. You know, we do. We continue to pray that, and you make a good point. We're seeing that. You know, again, there's Bible story after Bible story to where, you know, the kings, the wicked rulers made their plans. But you know, there's times that the people stand up to that. The people finally say, no, enough's enough. You know, whether it's Saul. Right when he was king, you know, sending out and saying, you know, no, we're not gonna let you pluck out our right eye just so that we can be your slaves.
The mighty weapon has made a difference in this country, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the people are praying it.
I would say we pray, Lord, continue to strengthen these people and this minister that Jason talked to and all these men down in Houston and really all of us, you know, that to to rise to the challenge of these tests that you've blessed us with.
Right.
And to stand up and put some wind in our sails, a good 12-knot breeze, you know, and keep us moving along and continue to confound and destroy the enemy.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and I had, if you have the time, I have one question of Jason. It's two questions, actually.
I don't know. Two, that might be getting tough. Go ahead.
Okay. I've made the decision that I'm going to apply some of this cream of tartar, kind of a paste, on a certain part of my arm. And if I take some duct tape that's larger than the patch,
yeah.
First of all, is it going to keep the moisture in and keep it from coming out? And second of all, how do I get that duct tape off when I'm done with it?
Get a piece of leather.
Yeah, that'll work. Are you trying to pull something out? Is that what you're trying to do? You gotta.
Yeah, it's a bunch of insect bites that have been bothering me for a month and a half now, and I don't know what they are, and I just want to, you know.
Yeah, then I would just mix it up real enough. Actually, you know, if you got some gauze or something you can put on there.
Yes, I do. I do. I have a gauze pad.
I'd mix up that cream of tartar real good. Put it on there. Put the gauze pad on it, and then just run some.
Medical tape around it.
If you don't got medical tape, use the duct tape, and then just soak it in a bath or something before you pull it off.
I'd use electrical tape.
Okay.
Electrical tape comes off easier than
electrical duct tape. Electrical tape works good, too, yeah.
Just go all the way around it so it stays on.
Okay, I've got that.
And I just leave it on until it dries out, because as that dries, that's going to suck.
Out, yeah.
So, you know, you want it to be able to breathe somewhat, because you don't want to seal it off completely where it's not gonna dry. Because if you get it sealed off completely, it's just going to keep the moisture in there. It ain't going to dry out, and then you're going to kill the drawing effect of it.
Oh. Oh, okay. Maybe I ought to go with shrink wrap or something like that, or whatever they call that stuff.
Yeah, just tape up the edges of it. You know, leave it, and let that way you let it breathe, and, you know, then change it in 12 hours.
Oh, okay.
And you should you should be in business.
Never know what you're going to hear on this.
That's right.
Coffee with the Wranglers.
Bill, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. And the phones are still ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Do you read me?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to send a mass frequency from the ministry to heaven. You would allow me to do that?
Yes, sir. We can sure do a prayer, Mr. Russell. Go ahead.
Father, Kathy Dyer's in deep, hard labor right now. We pray that your will would be done in that situation. Your will is that child come out a good, perfectly healthy child. God,
yes.
Just take over the situation and make it happen and comfort them. And your will just be done, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, in your name I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. We've been praying here too, brother.
That was the important thing, and then I had one more thought. I was listening to you guys discuss this queer thing. It's given Texas a really bad name. First of all, Houston's not really in Texas. But the queers are run amok, and we all know that. And I was thinking, what were the issues in my day? And in my day, back in when we were young, I think the booger man was divorced. I remember divorce was rampant, and we tolerated it, and now it's nothing. And then I was thinking, well, what about my forefathers? And then the thought came to me was this progressive income tax. They just allowed this thing to happen, and so we've always had these hideous sins. They just keep turning up the heat. But none of us is, throughout the generations, is probably innocent of, probably, I mean, what I'm trying to say here is God allows these things, and where's David? And it's disgusting. And I thought, well, wonder why it didn't happen in New York City. Why didn't they seize the sermons up there? And then I realized there's not. They don't preach in New York City. They don't preach in San Francisco. Probably not a lot of preaching going on in Denver. I don't know, but Houston was a good place to fire the first shot.
Yeah. Well, think about this, Russell. They targeted Colorado here about 10 years ago, and it used to be conservative, and there was majority were God-fearing people. And guess what? They got their sights on Texas right now.
They sure do, and we're not interested in becoming Boulder. We already have Austin. we just put a big barbed wire fence around Austin and go around it. But
well, the little bit of good news, brother, is I heard that they just passed a law there that got to have ID to vote, which was if you believe that there's even anything to the voting thing. But I mean, if you don't believe that they can control the vote with today's technology, then
well, at least we know. We now know that voting is as important as liquor, because you've always had to have a photo ID to buy liquor.
Yeah, good point.
And spray paint. You got to have a photo ID to spray paint. Thanks to our multicultural diversity from Mexico. So anyway, that's my thought. Progressive income tax is right up there with homosexuality. They're disgusting. It's a disgusting concept to punish people that work for a living. And so it's been going on a long time. So we just cry out to Jesus. That's all.
Yep.
That's what we got left, guys. So let's just cry out and say, please, God Almighty, we're not very good people, but we believe in you, and we thank you for the blessings you have given us. But we need to hear from you, God. We can't stand these mud packers. They're taking over.
Yep.
And that's all I have to say. Thank you for the opportunity to say it.
Yeah, that's why we need to pray, Lord, remember grace and mercy in your wrath for your people, the remnant.
Yes.
And find us worthy to escape the things that are coming, because they're coming. And you're right, brother. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus that's going to save us.
Amen.
Thank you, Russell.
Guys, got all the phone lines ringing over here. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, guys. Want to take you to Isaiah 3 real quick.
Okay, real quick. Got three other lines ringing.
Okay. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Pop over to verse 8. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Those people down there in Houston, may I draw your attention to the state of water in California that did this same rebellion against God over the years?
Right.
How long will it be before God will pull the water and the rains from Texas?
He has.
Will he make your state like California because you're poking your finger in the eye of God?
Good point.
Yeah.
The scriptures are there. The scriptures are there if they will but read them and believe them.
He tells you, because you've done this, I've taken your water away. I've taken your food away. Well, when you have no water, you got no crops.
Right. Good point.
Amen.
Now, you know, getting to this thing about that you were just talking about as far as how long will it be before they start with the pedophilia. Did you hear what this Judge Posner had to say here lately? He says he doesn't think that rape should be illegal.
Yeah. They are getting bolder and bolder. It's the terror standing up higher and higher. Hey, caller, we thank you. We're going to try to get these other two before we finish out the program here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee. Got a quick minute here.
Hi, this is Alex in Ontario. I've got a hopefully encouraging story about standing up to homosexuality, something that happened earlier this year in my small town. Our town was going to have an the churches in our town were going to have an ecumenical Easter service on Good Friday, and one church said that they weren't going to participate because one of the other churches that was going to be participating has a same-sex homosexual male couple in it, and so there was a fuss raised about that, and the church with the homosexual couple ended up backing out of the service.
Good.
Good to hear. Even up in Canada.
Yep.
All right. Alex, thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And, oh, lost that one. Well, we're about out of time. Just a couple minutes left here. Wow, where'd that hour go?
Went fast.
It does.
It's an important topic, though, when you you see these persecutions, especially when they hit home from what we went through as a little church here in LaPorte, Colorado, the base of the mountains.
But the encouraging thing to go out would be to just stand firm, Christians in Houston. Get your Bibles out. Knock the dust off of them. Try to remember where you put them. Get them down off the shelf. Knock the dust off and open them up and pray. And, you know, just go to Romans 1. That's New Testament. That's the love and grace of Jesus Christ right there. Take a look at it.
Pray Psalms 91.
And it's not one little verse. It's not one book. I mean, there's witnesses.
There are, all the way through it. Yeah. All the way through it. And we encourage you to do that. We also encourage you to join us at church tomorrow. ScripturesForAmerica.org is where you can do that at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And if you do that, you'll get a chance to have fellowship, have some little review of the news, be able to sing praises to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You'll be able to partake of communion.
If you're a baptized believer.
If you're a baptized believer, it is closed communion, even on the internet. And then you'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message that will exhort you, that will edify you, that will bless you if you'll take the time to do that. So we encourage you to do it. Thanks for joining us. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Rollin', 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, big high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.